Johnny got a toy golf set when he was three, and from that day on, he was hooked. All he wanted to do was golf, golf, golf. He'd be on the links before school, after school. All he ever wanted was to go pro. And then, one day, when he was holding his grandson and thinking about his 12 handicap, Johnny realized it just might not happen for him. But you know what did happen for him? He switched to Geico and saved a bunch of money on car insurance. So that was good, and so was hanging out with his grandson.
Let's consider the secret life of the innermost nesting doll. Living most of her life in the dark, inside the other nesting dolls, she has plenty of time to think, if she could. Sadly, she has no brain. However, when an innermost nesting doll hears that Geico not only saves people money, but also has been providing great service for over 75 years, she thinks it's obvious you should switch. Because yes, switching to Geico is a no-brainer. Pity the innermost nesting doll and her lot in life.
Did you grow up with the NES, PlayStation, Star Wars, cartoons, and 80s TV? Do you like to think you would win in a fight between Batman and the Master Chief? Comics, games, movies, music, and TV, they're gonna tell you everything you need. Superheroes or not, they got your back, they're gonna save the world of geeks.
And now, a thought from Geico Motorcycle.
It took 15 minutes to take a spirit animal quiz online.
Please be the cheetah. Please be the cheetah.
And learn your animal isn't the cheetah, but the far less appealing blobfish.
Oh, come on.
To add insult to injury, you could have used those 15 blobfish minutes to switch your motorcycle insurance to Geico.
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on motorcycle insurance.
Hey, hey, the main show is off this week, so we've got basically me around because I was visiting family and they're working today, so I'm going to get a show in. We've had a couple reviews this week for you. We've got Fade to Silence from Black Forest Games and THQ Nordic, as well as we've got a copy of A Plague Tale, which is brought to you by Focus Home Interactive, and I'm going to have a discussion in the middle because now that the TV upfronts are finished, I'm going to basically go over a guide of what's new coming in the fall. We know sort of by now what was canceled. Most of you, if you know your favorite shows were if they were canceled. But it's sort of a breakdown of what's on network TV and some things that are coming to cable. Some things might not come until the spring, but, you know, what are we expecting over the summer, like return dates, as well as what are we expecting for the fall? And then that's going to be it for this special, I guess, Victoria Day Canadian edition, holiday weekend edition of Twig / Turtle Treasure. Not exactly sure what we're going to put this under. Maybe Twig. I'll put it under Twig. That's what I'm going to do. And then sometime this week, if all goes well, we're going to have a discussion with Birdman on the end of Game of Thrones, as well as the Big Bang Theory finale and Detective Pikachu. Sort of a roundtable discussion of, you know, what's big in pop culture right now. And then we'll be back with our normal programming starting next week again. So I guess without further ado, let's cut to Fade to Silence, and then we'll go into the discussion.
This is a fair request, and I promise I will not judge any person only as a teenager. And that this is no more right than saying all teenagers are drunken dope addicts or glue sniffers.
I have a quick review here for you. That is Fade to Silence, which is the brand new title from THQ Nordic, developed by Black Forest Games. Now, what is Fade to Silence? It looks a bit like a crossover between like John Carpenter's The Thing meets Cthulhu-esque horror meets demonic alien type weird possession / infection movie that happens to be a game. So basically, it is a survival game where you're trying to fight the onslaught of a sort of entity that is contaminating and destroying the world. And you're constantly trying to gather resources and fend off the enemy from your base. And it has a bit of the gameplay style where you're dodging, attacking, a little soulsy, but not too, too difficult. Now, it all wrapped into a whole Arctic, like frozen hellscape of a landscape of a game. So it's pretty cool. I'll tell you up front, it doesn't retail for the full retail price of like 80 like you usually see here. It's about, I think, $20 or $30 cheaper than that. So you're actually getting a pretty good deal for the money. There are two difficulty modes. You've got the standard mode, which is fairly difficult. I had a really hard time with it, and that's how you earn your trophies and your achievements. I received a copy on Xbox One, and I was playing it on the Xbox One X, and it had zero issues loading or anything, and you know it wasn't overly taxing on the system. The graphics are not, I wouldn't say like, you know, top tier PS4 Xbox level, but they are adequate for a smaller studio. And the mode I played it on, which is the easier mode, doesn't allow you to get achievements, but allows you to explore more and do a little more with the game without fear of dying at every turn. You still have to use some skill with it, because you can die fairly easily if you're dumb. Like, you can't just run up and press X to attack. There is a little bit of strategy involved in this game. The audio is foreboding and ominous, while having a little bit of almost a Game of Thrones-y vibe from the like the ambient music. And you're basically trying to save people that are in distress, protect your base, destroy the strongholds of the enemy, and stop the infection from spreading to everybody. And if you die, there are ways to come back. It's a little roguey in that sense. So I had a pretty good time with it. It's not going to be for everybody in that it's harder. This isn't a kid's game, obviously. But it is something that is worth checking out, especially since it's a fairly cheap game. It's not a budget title, but it's not a AAA premium title. It's somewhere slashed in the middle there. So I would say, you know, give it a watch on YouTube, watch a couple videos, see if it's for you. And then, you know, I, at least on the Xbox One, it plays really smoothly. So check it out there. That's Fade to Silence from Black Forest Games and THQ Nordic.
And now it's time for another special feature.
Heggle.
Okay, so the TV upfronts are all done for May, which, in case you don't know what that is, that's where all of the major networks and most of the time, most of the cable channels and sometimes the streaming networks get together and show off to the investors and show off what new shows they picked up for pilots and what's coming to air and work out what their schedules are, and they finish up what's being canceled. So I'm not going to go into what's canceled because you probably have already heard it if it's one of your favorite shows, but I'm going to go, before we go into the schedule for the fall, just going over TV Guide's list of what's coming up, you know, premiere date wise from this week in May till, I guess, the end of summer, because this is when we get to see some weird stuff come out, or things that they burn off sometimes, where maybe the show was renewed for or came out for this year, but then didn't do well, or they didn't think it was going to do well, so they brought it, you know, out or whatever. So looks like on the 23rd of May, they're premiering the last season of Elementary, which I never did watch. It didn't really appeal to me, so maybe I'll binge watch it later on. Netflix, blah, blah, blah. Let's see what we got here. The Hot Zone on National Geographic is on the May 27th. Recounts the terrifying true story of the origins of the Ebola virus. That seems interesting, actually. That might be something to keep an eye out for. I'm not going to talk about what's coming back, because generally you know what that is. The In-Between is going to air on NBC starting May 29th. That is a Wednesday. The In-Between follows a woman, let's call her a ghost whisperer. Oh god, is it a ghost whisperer? Really? Who can see and communicate with the dead. She helps them resolve problems. It's Ghost Whisperer. But I'm okay with that. That's always cool to have a fun little supernatural show. Also, the same day, we've got Good Omens coming to Amazon, which is going to be amazing. My roommate's been going, you know, apeshit crazy over wanting to have this adapted for quite some time. So if you don't know what it is, it's a black comedy about the end of the world, and a angel and a fallen angel, sort of demon, working together to, I guess, shepherd in the end of the world, the apocalypse. And it's starring a bunch of good British actors, basically. So it looks interesting. It'll be pretty cool. And what else do we have coming up? That looks like it's it for May. And then June 2nd, Perpetual Grace. Perpetual Grace is a modern noir drama which follows James, a mysterious young grifter who sets his eyes on Pastor Brian Brown as his next prey. On the Epix channel, that one premium cable channel that nobody remembers exists, yet seems to occasionally make TV shows. It's like you've got your HBO, then your Showtime, then your Stars, and then Epix as the little, I guess, little channel that could. So that's June 2nd. So that's another new show. I'm not going to count Lifetime. We're not going to talk about any Lifetime TV shows. No. I'm going to skip by stuff that I think looks really bad, or like reality shows, because if you're that into reality shows, you probably already know what's coming out. So then we're jumping forward to June 17th. No, that looks lame. So there's a bunch of shows coming back. Basically, your summer shows that you're used to, like Preacher and that, are coming back. So I don't need to talk about that now. There's a to-be-determined date for the summer they don't have listed. Sometime probably in August, it says The Gilded Age, which is an NBC show. From the creator of Downton Abbey comes this 10-episode series based on 1880s New York City, a period of immense social upheaval in which huge fortunes were made and lost during spanned lengths of Fifth Avenue, blah, blah, blah. Okay, so it looks like it could be an interesting drama. Maybe not something everybody's going to want to watch, but still kind of cool. And then the rest are just, you know, cable shows that we know are coming back. So it doesn't seem to be a whole lot of really big things premiering this summer. The big one's probably going to be Good Omens on Amazon. And other than that, that pretty much does it for the summer. I guess they're not doing that many burn-off shows this year of things that... I guess they've been more conservative with the channels now, but with the, you know, green light every year. So moving on from there, now we're going to go into what the schedule is, you know, from... Sunday to Saturday on network TV. Cable shows, I'll probably have to summarize it a little later, but in general, here is your network TV for the fall. Anything new, I'll let you know. For Sunday, there is nothing new on ABC, as far as I can tell here. Nope. On CBS, you got nothing new. On the CW, though, at 8 p.m., you're going to have the Batwoman show. And nothing new on NBC, really. Interesting. So Sunday's pretty straightforward, nothing super special. Interesting. and then Monday, you got, let me see, ABC... Nothing new. CBS. Bob and Abishola. Upcoming American sitcom created by Chuck Lorre. Oh, good God. It's going to be terrible. It's going to be another Big Bang Theory all over again. At Higgins and Gina. Are set to premiere in 1990. Starring Gardner. Blah, blah, blah. Okay, so it's going to be terrible. It's just going to be... Yeah. Okay. So you can watch that terrible show on the CBS. Then there's All Rise at 9 p.m., which is a new show. It's an upcoming drama. And it follows judges, prosecutors, and public defenders in Los Angeles courthouse. Cool, I guess. Neat. Then nothing else new on CBS. The CW is not going to be showing anything new on Mondays. Fox in the fall is bringing in Prodigal Son. That looks really interesting. It's Michael Sheen, who's also going to be in Good Omens as a serial killer that's been locked away for years, and his son, who may have serial killer tendencies, is now working for the cops, with Lou Diamond Phillips being his, I guess, liaison partner, and they're going to be working through serial killer cases that are basically copycats of his father's serial killer stuff. So it's a very psychological thriller, Hannibal Lecter type thing. Looks like it's going to be pretty cool. And then... there is 911 Lone Star starting in the fall on Fox, which is going to be the spinoff of the 911, one of the most ridiculous shows I've ever seen in my life. One of the most stupid, ridiculous, fun shows. And they haven't announced in the winter what is going to be in the 9 p.m. time slot after that yet. So it's probably something else that they haven't greenlit or haven't figured out what to slot in yet. On NBC in the fall, 10 p.m. on Mondays is going to be Bless City Law, which is a Jimmy Smith's lawyer show. Cool. Then we've got nothing new in the winter from them. They're just going to be shifting things around, you know, getting other shows back. Now, new shows for Tuesdays. On ABC, you've got Mixed-ish, which is a spinoff of Black-ish. And at 10 p.m., there's going to be Emergence. Now, if that is what I think it is, it sounds to me like one of those event-type shows. It is going to be a mystery thriller. Cool. Oh, okay, this is one about a girl that gets found, and then there's weird stuff that could be aliens. So maybe give that a watch. Emergence looks interesting, especially for ABC, but ABC doesn't have the best track record with these types of shows, so let's take it with a grain of salt here. CBS on Tuesdays is nothing different. It's all the same lineup they've been using. CW as well, Fox as well, and then NBC has nothing new. Tuesdays is like the... They've shifted shows around a little bit time-wise, but nothing new for them. So, really, it's only ABC changing their Tuesday schedule. Yeah, they're being very conservative this year. Now, Wednesdays, they've added on ABC at 10 p.m. Stumptown. That is the new show. Looks like a action comedy, but more so with the action. Crime thriller starring Kobe Smulders, the woman from How I Met Your Mother, and can't remember what her name was now, one that works with Nick Fury's assistant in all the MCU universe stuff. So she plays a army vet who's a private investigator in Oregon, where she also takes cases from the police and that sort of crap. Looks interesting. Could be kind of fun. I'll give it a try. She seems a little off as that character, but you should probably grow into it. That's just from the trailer. Now, CBS on Wednesdays, nothing new. You got Survivor, SEAL Team, SWAT, blah. CW has Nancy Drew starting after Riverdale, which is basically Nancy Drew, but everybody's super hot because it's the CW, and it has ghosts in it. So it's ghost Nancy Drew, like real ghosts or something. So it could be kind of fun. Fox, the same night, has Not Just Me, which is the... probably going to be the stupidest show I've heard of that's probably going to get canceled real fast. It's about... Yeah, I'm pretty sure there was a TV show where that was just a little plot of one episode, like Law and Order or something, but it's about a woman who finds out her father, who worked as a doctor at a fertility clinic, secretly impregnated hundreds of people, and now she's got, like, hundreds of siblings. Wow. Okay. and then NBC has nothing new. NBC Wednesdays are basically what they've been the last few years, which is their Chicago series, you know, Chicago Med, Fire, and PD. Then we go to Thursdays. ABC has nothing new. CBS is introducing The Unicorn after Young Sheldon, now that Big Bang is gone. Another sitcom called Carol's Second Act, and then a show called Evil. So let's take a quick look-see at what The Unicorn is. The Unicorn is a sitcom. Well, no shit, Sherlock. The series centers around a recently widowed father with two daughters who is encouraged by his friends to re-enter the dating scene. But that suggestion soon becomes a surprise to both him and his friends when he's suddenly the most sought-after single guy due to his description as an attractive working father. Sure. I mean, sure. Okay. Who knows? It could be funny. Let's see. Who are the showrunners? Okay, it's a single camera, so it could be more funny. Means no laugh track. That's always good. So maybe that one will be worth giving a shot. Now, let's see what Carol's Second Act is. It's an upcoming sitcom. Da-da-da. After raising two children and retiring from teaching, Carol Kenny embarks on a unique second act, pursuing her dream of becoming a doctor. Patricia Heaton? She's funny. Kyle MacLachlan. You know, this one... Who's producing it? It's a multi-camera. Maybe. I'll give it a try. I always try to give shows a try. And then we've got Evil, which is the one-hour show. Supernatural drama. It is about A skeptical psychologist allies with a priest and contractor to investigate purported supernatural incidences. Oh, this is going to be like Miracles. That was that one cool show that ran for 1 year. Or like an X-Files type thing. This could be fun on CBS. Hopefully, I mean, CBS, they are the procedural kings, so maybe they can make this last a while. They so CBS ordered a pilot for potential series in January of 2019. And the series order was made in May. And day after that, it was announced the series would premiere in the fall. Here are Tuesdays at 10. So they haven't really said anything about it just yet. But that is pretty cool. I hope that that goes forward, because I always like seeing supernatural type shows. So let's see, what else do we have here? So that is everything for CBS. CW on Thursdays hasn't changed any of their programming. I think that might be the last season of Supernatural, though. And then Fox, in the fall, is going to have Thursday Night Football. And then in the winter, they're switching to having Last Man Standing, and then they're going to go with a new show called Outmatched, and then Filthy Rich, which is a one-hour show. So let's take a look at those. Outmatched. The series follows blue-collar couple in Atlantic City, Jersey, trying to get by and raise their four kids, three of whom are certified geniuses. Starring Jason Biggs. Oh, okay. You know what? Okay, I'll give it an episode. We'll see what happens. That looks like it's probably coming out in January or so. And then Filthy Rich. Serialized satirical dramedy, described as a gothic family drama in which wealth, power, and religion collide with an outrageous soapy results. The series centers on mega-rich southern family who made their money with Christian television network, and whose sudden passing of its founder in a plane crash brings out three more family members who he had written in his will due to having affairs with different women, who will inherit the empire for their own reasons. So Kim Cattrall, Gerald McRaney. Okay, so there's actually some good people in here. Yeah, it's a dramedy. I'll give it a shot. Depending on the tone of how it is, it'll be kind of cool. Maybe not. That's going to be it for the Thursday lineup of Fox. And then NBC has Perfect Harmony premiering at 8:30 p.m. Perfect Harmony is it could be really hit or miss. It's from the creators of Brooklyn Nine-Nine and a bunch of other shows, but it's about a guy that goes and tries to train a church for a singing competition, I think. And to me, if it's like Glee or any of that stuff, I can't stand most musicals. So I'm going to have some trouble with it. But again, give it a try. And then at 9:30 at night on Thursdays on NBC, there's something called Sunnyside. Set up in New York City, a series follows Garrett Modi, a former New York City councilman who finds his calling when faced with immigrants in need of his help and rich American dream. Oh, so starring Cal Penn. This one I did see a preview for, and it looked pretty decent, actually. So that's a sitcom that I'll probably give a go. And then we hit Fridays, which traditionally is my favorite day, because usually that's where I like to watch my Hawaii Five-0 in the last couple years, but all 9 or 10 years of Blue Bloods I've been watching forever. Got to get me some Magnum PI in there. Not the fake Magnum that airs before it. But there's nothing new on ABC, CBS, the CW, or NBC. It's all the same shows. But Fox has SmackDown moving to it. So, and thank God it's only 2 hours long. So I'll be watching SmackDown probably live every week. At least for the first month or two, because that's when they're going to put all the money into it. And we'll see where it goes from there. Then Saturday, there hasn't been usually much new shows on Saturdays, with the exception of when they put a Canadian show on in the States or something like that. But it doesn't appear to be, yeah, there's nothing really Saturday-wise that's new. So that's not a whole ton of new shows. A lot of sitcoms, not a whole bunch of dramas. I think they're holding off. Some of the shows are ending early in the year, so I'm thinking January or the spring we're going to start seeing more, but they're being much more conservative now with how many new shows they premiere each year, because it just costs a lot to make these shows and put them to order, and if they don't do well, they don't do well. So here's a breakdown by network. ABC's new shows are The Baker and the Beauty, and it's not on the schedule yet. Don't, Emergence, For Life, Mixed Dish, Stumptown, United We Fall, and Videos After Dark. So some of those don't have time slots or previews just yet. And then not returning, The Fix was canceled, For the People, The Kids Are All Right, Speechless, Splitting Up Together, and Whiskey Cavalier. Those were all canceled. Then CBS's new shows are All Rise, Bob Loves Bishola, whatever the hell that is, Broke, Carol's Second Act, Evil, FBI Most Wanted. That had a preview this year, and it looked pretty good, like a backdoor pilot. Tommy, the Unicorn, not returning. Big Bang Theory, thank God. Elementary, Fam, Happy Together, Life in Pieces, Murphy Brown, and The Red Line. So those are all gone. The CW, it has a new series. Katie Keene, Nancy Drew, and Batwoman. Did Katie Keene have a link? That one might actually have a link. Let's see what it is. Katie Keene is an upcoming American musicals drama. Okay, I'm closing the page right now so I don't have to talk about it or think about it. And they're canceling Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, iZombie, which I thought was canceled years ago, and Jane the Virgin, which I thought was canceled years ago. Now, Fox's new shows are 911 Lone Star, Bless the Hearts. That's Bless the Hearts, I read, was a new show created by the Bob's Burgers people. Should be cool. Deputy, which just did a preview with, I think it was, is it Brad Dorff in it? It is Stephen Dorff. That's who it was. I was one of them. Duncanville, Filthy Rich, the Great North, Next, Not Just Me, Outmatched, Prodigal Son. So not either one of those has links yet as far as previews for, but keep an eye out. I guess you're going to probably see previews on like YouTube popping up. And then not returning are The Cool Kids, Gifted, Gotham, Lethal Weapon, The Passage, Proven Innocent, Rel, and Star. And then NBC, new shows are Bluff City Law, Council of Dads, and Indebted. Oof, why am I getting tongue twisted today? The Kenan Show, Lincoln, Perfect Harmony, Sunnyside, That's My Jam, Zoe's Extraordinary Playlist, and not returning, I Feel Bad and Midnight Texas. NBC was interesting. They canceled only two shows. But how they got away with that is most of the shows that NBC puts on now are 10 to 13 episode seasons, with the exception of the Chicago series on Wednesdays, and then Law & Order's longest running series ever, the Law & Order SVU, being on Thursdays. Every one of their other shows is less than 20 episodes long. So they're able to actually keep a show, even if it has a little bit lower ratings, and they can slot it in somewhere else. So that way they actually have avoided a lot of the risk. Instead of having a 20 to 24 episode series, when they do 10 to 13, if a show isn't performing super great, they can slot in another show that they paid for. So it's kind of cool. They're following more of a Canadian or British model for that. So, and that's it for all the major channels, which is kind of cool. Now, as far as what's coming out on cable, that's going to be something, I think, completely different. And let me see if I can pull something up here while we talk here. One second here. Well, after looking up everything, I couldn't find any concrete results on all the cable shows coming out. So that'll have to be on another time. So that's going to do it for this discussion. I'm not exactly sure what I'm super looking forward to, but I'm going to give everything a chance. And it seems like there's a good variety out there for pretty much anything you might like. So with that, let's get into my next review, and then I'll come back at the end to close out the show.
Do you have any hobbies?
I collect spores, molds, and fungus.
Hold that thought. It's crapper time.
Plague Tale: Innocence is the brand new adventure survival game brought to you by Asobo Studio and published by Focus Home Interactive. I had the opportunity to review a copy on the Xbox One, so I installed it on my Xbox One X. It's about 46 gigabytes or so, fairly standard for a game of the scope. And what is this game? If you've seen trailers before, you've probably just seen a brother and sister escaping from rats during the Middle Ages plague. And that's pretty much a good teaser for it, but there's actually a much deeper plot. Your little brother has a rare sort of mystical blood disorder, and then there's the Inquisition trying to gather him, and lots of other twists and turns that I won't get into to spoil the story. But one thing I did like is that your mother's name is Beatrice, which you don't usually see in games, and that's my mother's name because she's probably the youngest person on the planet with that name. But anyway, that's beside the point. The basic gameplay of this is trying to solve puzzles to escape the Inquisition, avoid them, at the same time trying to keep one step ahead of the ever swarming rat swarms of plague rats that are trying to devour and destroy anything in their path, which they're quite terrifying. And like, you'll see them scurrying here and there, and they'll pour out of, you know, pipes and everything around you, and you can use them to your advantage by setting traps and solving puzzles to basically take down your pursuers with the rats. The only thing that stops them is light and fire, and if you are in scarce supply of both, you are kind of screwed. So it's a game that, while playing it, I had goosebumps basically the whole time. Very, very, very entertaining. Great atmosphere, great audio, like sound design, great visuals. Focus Home Interactive isn't known necessarily for publishing games with, you know, top tier graphics, but this is pretty darn close to AAA status. So it's going to be one, I think, that is a bit of a sleeper hit, because I was totally enthralled with it. I like how a lot of these games are being published now that are very unique and different. This isn't just your standard RPG. This isn't just your standard survival horror. There's more of a story involved and more puzzle solving involved than you get from a lot of maybe lesser companies that aren't as well known. So Focus Home Interactive has been really good at publishing a lot of these sorts of titles in the last couple years, and I hope to see a lot more to come in the future. So, experience-wise, I'm not sure how this plays on other home consoles, but I was playing it on an Xbox One X, so I was probably getting the best experience you could get at the home console, and it was buttery smooth at 4K, 60 frames per second. I had, you know, no lag issues, jittering, or anything like that. I had a very immersive experience. The only thing that might take you out of the immersive experience a little bit is some of the AI on your pursuers, the actual Inquisition, is not really that great. It's kind of boneheaded and dumb. And I'm not somebody who is going to complain about having easy gameplay. It just seemed like everything else was really intense and hard, and they seemed a little too boneheaded at times. But again, that's just a bit of a nitpick. So, you know, take that with a grain of salt. Now, you might have to adjust your television set a little bit for the tones and the gamma on this game, because it is a little dark. It's supposed to be dingy, you know, during the great, you know, the Black Plague and everything. So it has a very desaturated look. So I had to just adjust a tiny little bit here and there. I boosted my brightness a tiny bit so I could see a little more. It's going to be up to your own taste, though. This is a game that, you know, play it in surround or play it with good headphones and turn it, you know, fairly up so you can hear things creeping from the background. So that, and it's basically the game in a nutshell, because I do not want to give away the plot, because this had a really good plot. So, you know, there's mysticism, magic, plagues, Inquisition, and then just, you know, occult. It's a bit of everything rolled up into one. So I really hope that Soba Studio puts out more quality works like this in the future. So that's a Plague Tale: Innocence from Focus Home Interactive. Probably going to be one of the big sleeper hits of the year, and I highly recommend it.
Basically, use the geeks.
Leave me alone, geek boy.
Holy shit, you geeks are badass.
And that's going to be just about it for this special, I guess, Victoria Day edition of This Week in Geek. And I don't know exactly what else we've got coming up this week. I do know we're planning mid to late week to record some of our thoughts on Pokemon Detective Pikachu, as well as the end of Game of Thrones and Big Bang Theory, two of the biggest cultural television shows of the last 15 to 20 years. So we're going to talk about that, and then we're going to get back to the regular show starting on the weekend and try to get some commentaries in and do some more fun stuff as the summer starts to roll on. So that's going to be it. I'll talk to you people sometime later on this week. All right, bye-bye.
Okay, son, now you're starting to scare the viewers.
Just act normal.
I'd ask you to do the same, but I'm afraid that ship has sailed.
Why are there so many ostriches?
But you have a game that is dipped in the f- Ha ha!
Ropey, thick, window cocking.
So guys, we'll be right back right here on This Week in Geek, only on thisweekingeek.net and many other sites where I syndicate this crap, because I'm a media slut.
I like turtles.
Loose like your mom.
That's right.
No fisting, you say. Anything else you object to?
Me lucky tater tots.
You've been listening to This Week in Geek. Check out our website at thisweekingeek.net for more geek content. And subscribe to our podcast through iTunes or any podcatcher. If you'd like to comment on this episode, head to this episode post on thisweekingeek.net and comment through Facebook Connect. Or you can call our voicemail line at 817-717-7202. Follow and message us on Twitter at thisweekingeek. And check out our Instagram at twig_official_podcast. And if you're the good old-fashioned email type, send us an email at feedback@thisweekingeek.net. We'll see you next time. And remember,
lower your shields and surrender your listenership.
Well, Matt, I don't think I said I would f*** them all to death.
Okay, well, let's roll the tape on that.
Oh, sure, okay.
Well, there's only one immigration policy that I believe in, and that's f*** them all to death.
F*** them all to death. Let's make this country great again.
Johnny got a toy golf set when he was three, and from that day on, he was hooked. All he wanted to do was golf, golf, golf. He'd be on the links before school, after school. All he ever wanted was to go pro. And then, one day, when he was holding his grandson and thinking about his 12 handicap, Johnny realized it just might not happen for him. But you know what did happen for him? He switched to Geico and saved a bunch of money on car insurance. So that was good. And so was hanging out with his grandson.
Geico presents, yikes, another voicemail from your roommate.
Sup, roomie? Hey, a pipe burst in the basement. It's completely flooded. Anyway, I called for someone to fix it, but in the meantime, I was thinking we could finally have that indoor pool party we've always wanted. I got some cool swan floaty things already going. Could you pick up some chips on your way home? Later.
The Geico Insurance Agency could help keep your personal property protected, like if your roommate isn't the brightest pool float in the flooded basement. Visit Geico.com to see how easy it is to switch and save on renter's insurance.